we have Nick Greaser entering his fifth season as general manager of the Lansing Lugnuts.
Morning.
Nick, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for the entertainment.
Yeah, it's,
you didn't have to do that for me.
You're not at the stadium today. Hey, listen, you just ended the season. Can you give us a quick rundown? How did it go?
Sure. Yeah, we had one of those years that was a bit up and down. We came out of the gate really strong from a on the field perspective, and it kind of teetered out towards the end. But that's kind of the nature of the business with minor league baseball. You know, the guys are trying to get promoted, and mm-hmm. so. We lost a lot of our good players about middle of the season, but we ended about 500, just missed the playoffs, but overall it was a good year.
Isn't that the oddity of it, though, that you have, the better you do, almost the worse you do?
Yeah, it really, and that's, they split the minor leagues in half mm-hmm. for that very reason, and it's very common to see teams win the first half and then be in dead last in the second half, because that very same thing happens. All the guys get promoted. And then you have a whole different team the second half, which we got a new crop of guys at the end of the season that it's going to be our team next year. So it's kind of how the business goes.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not sure that people realize how many major league players have come through the Lansing Lugnuts organization. I was surprised.
Yeah, last count I had was 119 former Lugnuts have at least made one major league start, and then over the last 4 or 5 years, there's been a whole new crop of players that have gone up through we've been a Blue Jays affiliate for 12 years now, that have come up through the Blue Jays system that are starting to become everyday names. Guys like Noah Syndergaard, mm-hmm. he was a Lugnut and an all-star for us in 2012. Kevin Pillar, who's an outfielder for Blue Jays. So there's a lot of names out there now. And then, of course, some of our most famous alumni are Carlos Beltran,
sure.
Carlos Zambrano, guys from back when we were a Cubs affiliate. But, the funny thing about it is we could have a lot of major leaguers on our team, but you're never going to know it for 3 or 4 years down the road.
You have to keep a list.
Yeah.
Any particularly hot prospect this year? Somebody who looks like they've got it?
There was a guy, a pitcher that was with us at the first part of the season, Sean Reed Foley, John Harris, both pitchers that have been pretty big prospects. But, I try not to back myself into a corner too much with that because I am not a baseball scout, so I found myself to be wrong more than I'm right with trying to project who's going to make it up there or not. But I'm surprised a lot, both good and bad, I guess. So, but yeah, through our league, we've had guys, Albert Pujols played in this league, Brent Fielder.
Right.
There's been a lot of big names of Jake Mauer. Mike Trout. There's been a lot of big names that have come through our league that, again, you just don't really know till down the road.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk about the fan experience this year? There was an awful lot. Anyone who went to the stadium last year and came back there goes, what happened here? I think the outfield has changed the whole nature of the thing, but the whole fan experience, good year?
Yeah, great year. And that's really what the experience of the ballpark is about, is more about, the entertainment and the fan side of it. Very few of our fans, really come for the baseball, as weird as that sounds. They come for a night out with their family. They come for something to do. So it's shocking how many people come and can leave the ballpark and not name one player on our team.
Or some of them can't tell you who won the game.
Yeah. So
but they can tell you that big lug.
Exactly.
Walked through the stadium and shook their hand.
Yeah, exactly. And so we really cater to that. We try to make it an entertaining night for whether you're a baseball fan or not. And a big part of that has been all the renovations that we've done to the stadium over the last 2 years, really. And there's been a bunch of changes. If you haven't been to the stadium in a couple of years, it's changed dramatically. The most notable is the outfield building, which where we have 84 apartment buildings just up past the outfield wall. Nothing like it in the country, major league or minor league, where residents are actually living inside of the stadium. So it's a pretty cool concept. They're literally
inmates,
20 feet past the wall.
They can't escape.
Yeah, it's literally 20 feet past the outfield wall. And they were very upfront about some of the dynamics of living at the ballpark. Obviously, we're pretty active. We're loud and bright. We clean at night. Lights stay on late. So I think the tenants that live there have had a really good experience over the last about 4 months now. I think they've been living there. But not only that, we did a lot of things at the current stadium. We upgraded. One of the biggest impacts the average fan is we have 3 new scoreboards, state-of-the-art scoreboards that have come in. Our main board has doubled in size. We've got a suite-level facade board that's, and then a right field board as well. And it's just all for the fan experience. We've added venues. We've added bars. We've added, little things, a new playground area. We've added things like we created the Michigan Baseball Hall of Fame that lives out in the outfield concourse. So everything we did as part of the renovations, one, there were some structural kind of boring things that we had to do to keep the stadium operational. But then everything that we could focus on that we wanted to make sure it impacted the fans in a positive way. And I'm extremely happy with it. I think the fans that have come out over the last year have really seen that and have changed their experience at the ballpark.
It really was time to reinvest in the stadium. It always looks good. But I mean, isn't it almost 20 years old?
We just finished our 21st season, believe it or not.
And so, yeah, and then I guess not a lot had been done. And a lot of the things that happened, I mean, the outfield is obvious, but the things in the back, you know, behind the scenes.
Well, we are a city-owned facility. So the city of Lansing does own the ballpark. And, you know, we've got a great relationship with the city, with the mayor's office. The mayor is a big supporter of ours. And we really had the vision that we didn't want to wait till the ballpark started to fall apart. You know, it's so much easier to stay ahead of it. So for the last 20 years, there'd been some modest renovations, but nothing significant. So yeah, we did a lot of boring things. The roof was in need of repair. You know, we had to fix some HVAC and some plumbing and some electrical and some concrete work and things like that that really don't make the headlines, but that are important to keep the ballpark, you know, presentable when people walk in. It's the things they don't even realize. So, but yeah, the city's been a great partner. They have really invested a lot of time and energy into the ballpark, and I think it really shows. And for a 21-year-old ballpark, it looks brand new.
Yeah, it really does. I think that would surprise people. You know, it's funny because it's minor league baseball is one of the real selling points in the area. When you talk about the economic development officials and just people in general, it changes the nature of a community like Lansing having something like this, because it goes from April up through September.
Yep, exactly. It's about 5.5 month season. And, you know, that's the true reason why the ballpark was originally built 21, 22 years ago, was to really revitalize downtown. You know, if you're familiar with the area, it was not a real, you know, good place of town to go down and visit with your family.
It was colorful, I think, is the most most polite way to describe it.
Yeah, and former Mayor David Hollister and our owner and only owner, Tom Dixon, really had a vision to build the ballpark in that area with the goal of, you know, businesses booming around it and bringing people downtown in a safe environment. And 21 years later, it's still the same vision, and it's still continuing to develop, and even so much so with the outfield development. The Gillespie Group is, you know, they really own the second, third, and fourth floor, which is where the tenants are living. So it's a good public-private partnership. The city owns the ground floor, and Gillespie owns the top three. So
I mean, it's a condominium, but one of the oddest condominiums you can think of.
It was an interesting dynamic. You know, probably not horribly uncommon in large cities, but in Lansing, you know, kind of the public-private condo air rights concept was we learned a lot. You know, things like where those are. Our ceiling end and their floor begin, but they've been great partners as well. We talk pretty regularly, and we try to make sure that you know, we're good partners and think about the residents that are living there when we're doing things. So it's been fun. It's been interesting. We've had a lot of national response out of it. You know, people are kind of curious about how do you really do this and how does this happen. So. Not sure I wanted to be the guinea pig for all that, but in hindsight, I'm glad we were.
Well, when you talk with Pat Gillespie, he says his only regret in this project was that he didn't put it on another floor.
You know, I've heard him say that as well, because they sold out extremely quick. It's been occupied since the grand opening, which I believe was around May. So, it's been well received.
Now, have you had visitors from all over the country to come and look at this?
We've had some visitors. I've had a lot of phone calls. And it got a lot of national media when we announced it. And, you know, the baseball world, there's 160 minor league teams, 30 major league teams. So out of the 200-ish teams, we're all pretty close. So we do a lot of conferences and things together. And, yeah, it's been the talk of a lot of the events I go to is, you know, how did this work? How did you do this? And what's the response? So I expect to see this happening down the road in other markets.
Well, I think the Gillespie Group sees that as an opportunity. I mean, I've done, you know, some stories about this, and he says that he thinks he can be building this in other places, which would sort of be cool. We'd be like the father of outfield housing.
Well, Pat's the guy to do it. He's a trendsetter. He's a visionary, and he has great ideas. And sometimes you kind of think they might be a little crazy, and then few months later, they're happening. So, you know, my hat's off to him. He's doing a lot of good things in downtown Lansing, in the Lansing area, and he's a great partner to work with.
You know, it's interesting. You say you talk with other minor league clubs and that. Is the Lansing experience with minor league baseball pretty much replicated in other communities?
Conceptually, yes. We obviously do things a little bit, everybody operates a little bit differently, but the concept, I believe, is the same. It's not so much focused on baseball. It's more about entertainment. You know, for example, we're 53% female on our attendance, which some people are surprised by that, because we're, you know, and we, when we market our events and market our, you know, things that are happening at the ballpark, we always try to talk to the moms, because we find that they're the ones that are organizing what the family's doing over the weekend.
Right.
So a lot of our advertising is geared towards females, which at the major league level, that's a little bit different. You know, they're advertising to the baseball fanatics, where we're really talking about, hey, You know, we're competing with the movies more than anything. We're not competing with other sports entities or other, you know, Michigan State football, basketball, baseball, whatever. We're fighting with the movies and dinner and a night out with your family. So, yeah.
Well, you go both ways. I mean, because you see the people. I mean, when I go there, I'm not really interested. I don't need another T-shirt or a hot dog shot at me. But I do like watching the game.
Oh, of course. I don't want to undermine that whatsoever.
But I'm saying you can go both ways.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, our major league affiliate is Toronto Blue Jays, which this isn't really a Blue Jays market. So that's a little bit to our disadvantage. For example, the West Michigan Whitecaps, they're a Tigers affiliate. They're in Michigan.
Yeah.
Mostly a Tigers fan base. So that certainly helps them. I don't think the Blue Jays affiliate hurts us, but it certainly doesn't help us the way that a Tigers affiliation or our local market or our local team would. But that's all, you know, that's all really somewhat irrelevant. It's still more about coming out to the ballpark and having a good night.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I think that people ought to recognize is that the Lansing Lugnuts are, you know, a real business in town. It's not just the players on the field.
Yeah.
But when you look at your website and you just talk to people, I mean, you have a fairly good economic, well, not, you know, an economic impact on the area. What do you have for, what kind of staff?
We are about 350 staff members when we're at full operation in the middle of the season. We are a seasonal operation, so in the off season we're 20 to 25 full-time staff. And we've been gotten much more active in doing events at the ballpark. For example, tonight is Beer Fest at the ballpark.
Right,
so we're converting the ballpark into a beer tasting event, where we'll have about 45 breweries on the actual playing surface of the field, and people can come down, you buy a ticket and you go, and it's a beer sampling event. This will be our
country concert.
Yeah.
About a month ago.
Yep.
Wasn't it?
Taste of Country, but it was back in June. We've been trying to get more active in concerts. You know, we're replacing our field on Monday, so we actually have been doing miniature golf all week. We mowed
a
miniature golf course into the field. We mowed 18 holes, and in 3 nights we've had close to 1,000 people play it already. So it's taking place tonight during the Beer Fest, and then it'll be on Saturday and Sunday, noon to 5, and it's just $5. So you can come play a round of golf. It's very unique. You know, we just are always trying to think of ways to provide entertainment options for downtown and mid-Michigan area, and this was just one of those opportunities that we had with replacing the field. We could really tear it up a little bit this last week. It didn't matter because we're replacing the whole surface.
Why is that?
It's time. Our sod is about 11 years old. The average baseball field about every 5 to 7 years should be replaced, so we're a little behind. Michigan State Turf Program is actually growing our sod right now. So here in the next couple of weeks, it'll be cut up and brought over, and we'll have a brand new playing surface for next year.
You're going to sell pieces of the old sod to the real Lugnut diehards?
You know, we thought about it. I don't think we're going to, but you're not the first one that's asked, yeah.
So what's coming up next year? I mean, what should we look forward to?
Sure, we're actually working through our 2017 schedule right now. We'll announce that within the next month. But we'll have a lot of our staple, you know, our LAFCU fireworks nights are some of our biggest nights, and those are kind of the fan favorites. You know, we do 15 to 20 of those every year. We always have the 4th of July, which we do have that game again. So we're putting together our promotional schedule. I'm sure we'll have some fun things that we're going to do. You know, one thing we've been talking about is a pet-friendly night every night of the week, or one night of the week every week. So Monday nights are going to be, I think we're going to call it the dog days of summer, so you can bring your dog every Monday night. So that's just one of the silly things we do.
Would you keep the dogs right there in the seats?
They can go anywhere they want. Yeah, we've done it before on one night a year, but I think we're just going to open it up to be every Monday. So that's just one small example of some things that we try to do. You know, Wednesdays are our winning Wednesdays. If the Lugnuts win, your ticket gets exchanged for another game. Our Labatt Thursday Thursdays are always popular. So every night of the week, there's something different going on, and then we'll put some other fun promotions around it.
Well, what about players? I mean, that's always the trickier part, isn't it? I mean, you can control what, you know, dog nights and things like that. But what about the, you know?
Yeah, it's as a general manager, people often think that I'm like a major league general manager, where I'm in the war room on draft day and I'm I'm making the calls as far as our 5-man starting pitching rotation and the starting lineup. That is the
season was on you,
right? That's at the minor league level. Unfortunately, fortunately, that's not the way it works. I could not run that side of the business, but no, really, I run the operation. I run the facility. Affiliated baseball, that the Toronto Blue Jays and their staff really make all those baseball decisions. We really just house them, make them comfortable, and do all the fun, goofy stuff around them.
But that's sort of odd, isn't it? I mean, so you really don't know what you're going to be putting on the field.
Correct.
Until March, maybe the end of March?
Oh, yeah, about a week prior to opening days when I find out the roster. We'll have an estimate. Okay, a funny example is if you ever come and buy one of our programs, mm-hmm. we have to print our programs, you know, lead times and things, about 3 weeks before the season starts. we're taking a guess that there are players that are on our roster at opening day. So we're usually about 75% right. And then, you know, it changes so often throughout the year. People are always a little upset. They come in, they read our program and say, well, this guy's not even on the team. Well, he was here 2 weeks ago. He's not now. He might be here another 2 weeks. So, but yeah, I don't know really who's coming and who's going. I usually find out about an hour before the players do if they're coming in or leaving. So it's just how the operation works. Again, for me, I actually prefer it that way. I like just to be able to work with our partners in the community and not have to worry about the sports side of it, but yet still have that little bit of sports, feel. So I kind of get that itch satisfied, I guess. But, it's a great partnership with everybody the way it works. It's a lot of fun.
Well, it's a great organization. We look forward to next year. I want to thank Nick Grietza for being here with us, general manager of the Lansing Lugnuts. And thank you so much.
Thanks
we'll see you on the field next year.
Appreciate it.